Welcome back, and thank you for listening to us here on Radio Pulpit. I hope you've enjoyed the presence of God, the presence of our guests so far, and that the Holy Spirit is just ministering to you wherever you are. I'm now very blessed to welcome to Elevator today, Ansi Visser from Africa Lighthouse Ministries. I can't wait to share her journey and also just her presence with you. Ansi, good day, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jenna Lee.
Now, Ansi, you do a lot of work for God. We're going to get into a lot of it today. But the main thing that I'd like to focus on is the work that you do through Africa Lighthouse Ministries. Where was this born? How did you receive this vision from God?
It was about in the year 2016. I just came up across the squatter camps in Manzieville in Krugersdorp, and I once again became so aware of a people that is in bondage of addiction and poverty and depression. And right there and there, I said to the Lord, "I'm going to do it right. I'm going to start it right off with an NPC." And I registered Africa Lighthouse Ministries, and we went full on into the township, and we started off feeding the people. And then I just realized that you really have to build a personal relationship with each and every woman and help them out of depression or improve their living conditions and just let your light shine in the midst of the darkness and not just throw them with the word all the time, because you can't just be a hearer of the word, you have to be also be a doer of the word. And that's how it started off. It was not the most glamorous ministry in the townships, but it was the most rewarding times of my ministry was in the townships.
Oh, that is incredible. And it takes a special person to do that kind of work, Ansi. So please just take us back into your own journey. We hear the heart of God for Africa Lighthouse Ministries, but talk to us about your heart. Where did your love for people come from?
Grew up as a pastor's child, and so you see it all the time. You know, a pastor is like a shepherd. He gives the word, he feeds the people, he looks after God's sheep. And so you see that, but I always like had this need of helping people and looking after people. And I believe it's something that God puts inside you. It's not a feeling that comes and goes. It's a seed that God puts inside you. And I always had this compassion for people that is in that moment weaker than you, or who needs a certain thing, where the Holy Spirit also leads and guides you, but in return you expect nothing. And I believe that's the heart of the Father as well. So growing up in the church, the word says the poor people will always be with us. But then once again, there's also broken people, people that needs healing, restoration, people that you need to journey with. And that is the perseverance Apostle Paul was talking about. You can't just give up halfway. You have to have perseverance and patience with people, because at the end of the day, that's God's people. You have been appointed to look after God's people. So I grew up in the church, knowing the things of God and knowing the ways of God, but I never really had a personal relationship with Jesus until when I turned 30. I had a massive encounter with Jesus in my house, in my room. And that changed my whole life. And I'm sorry, it's just so emotional when I talk about that. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, there's no way that your life can ever be the same. And the love that I encountered, when I realized that the world desperately needs the love of Jesus, the true love of Jesus, the love of God. And there I realized that church is not enough. You need Christ in you. You need the Holy Spirit, and you need to give people in the moment what you can't give them, but what the Holy Spirit gives you, the power and the wisdom and everything that you need in that moment. And that's my testimony. The transforming power of Jesus, the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And up until today, I will never forget that moment. And how God transformed me as a person, where I needed healing and restoration. And it took time. It took a lot of time, and it wasn't always easy. And today I'm in a position where I can say that I'm helping people that was in my position, people that needs just counseling, that needs love, that needs direction. And I'm so honored to say today I'm doing that. I'm giving back because that's my testimony. That's the power of my testimony.
Amen, amen. Ansi, I heard you speaking once about, for instance, your struggle with nicotine, with smoking, and how the Lord helped you to overcome that. Now, to somebody that might sound minute, to others that might sound like a very big obstacle. But the reality is that many Christians still face that challenge, for instance. I just want you to take some time to perhaps minister to somebody or encourage somebody with your testimony on how God helped you, that Jesus you encountered so beautifully in your room, how God helped you to overcome that addiction.
Yes. So obviously, when I met Jesus, I just knew he was real and his love for me was real. And as a pastor's child, you always get judged and convicted by the people and in the church. And I just said to the Lord, seeing that you love me so much, show me what I need to leave behind, to let go, and show me the new things I need to do. And as I grew in my identity in Christ, and I realized that I'm worthy. I can do things for God. I can work in His kingdom. I'm so worthy because His word says that we are seated in heavenly places. I'm royalty. I became ashamed of my smoking, not because of anything else, but my smoking was attached to a lot of emotional garbage. So I always knew the most difficult thing for me in life would be to stop smoking. And the desire grew bigger and bigger to stop smoking. And I just remember one day at a church service, it was a minister. He was a guest speaker at the church from America. And the only thing he said is, "If you want something from God today, come to the front and I'll pray for you." And I didn't even share anything with anyone. And he prayed. And the next morning when I woke up, my desire, my craving to smoke was just gone. I could just feel that something was working on my lungs, that God was busy with my body. And since that day, I've never touched a cigarette. But that makes it more profound is that the doctors, up until today, said that I don't have the evidence of a person who smoked 15 years. So God, not only did He deliver me from my addiction, He completely healed and restored my lungs. But I just want to say to each and every person out there, don't feel convicted or condemned by the fact that you are smoking, because we all have our own personal journey with Jesus. And I wasn't ready. Although I got saved, it took me another year to stop smoking. There's a lot of emotional healing that takes place and deliverance once we get saved, because it's like a transformation, a renewing of the mind. You learn about Jesus, you learn about His love. You start off as a baby. And don't let anyone tell you that you're not good enough because you're smoking. And that's a thing between you and God. And if you so desperately want to stop smoking, talk to your Heavenly Father. Tell him what you want and ask him to help you, because nothing is impossible for God. It's not a man that can help you to stop smoking, to set you completely free, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will set you free in that moment that you need it.
Amen. Now, Ansi, I also heard you saying that the smoking stemmed from some deep-rooted emotional baggage, as you called it. It is Women's Month. And as women, we go through a lot of trauma, pain challenges sometimes, and some of the byproducts of our pain, as you just described it as well, is manifesting in our lives, but we don't always deal with the core, with the foundation, the very foundation of where this pains stem from. Maybe if you would take us into confidence and just share some of your deep-rooted emotional healing that has taken place over the years.
Yes, for sure I can. Life is not perfect. We live in a fallen world. And first of all, I just want to say, if you're going through something difficult, it's not God. It's we live in a fallen world. We all sin. We have all have shortcomings, and it's sometimes the wrong choices people make. No one has a perfect history or a perfect life. But me growing up in church, I experienced a lot of hurt and rejection, and I don't think that was intentionally by my father. He did at that time that he thought was the best, and all most attention went to the church and to the congregants, and then lastly, we will get attention, and that was not enough for me. I felt rejected, I felt left alone, and I just turned to smoking. That seemed like a nice thing for me to do, and I'm very real and honest today. There was no other excuse. I thought, oh well, that might make me feel better, and not even that I started smoking. In a way, for me to control my situations, I controlled my eating habits. I had anorexia as well, and because sometimes when you feel you can't control your situations around you, you will control something that you can control, and that will be your eating, what you put in your mouth. And that was, I could control the food that I put in my mouth, and I could control the cigarette that I smoke. Little did I know that it had such a massive emotional attachment as I grew older, and it wasn't really solving any issue, that it was just doing damage to my body. And that Satan will always create a lie that think that it will make you feel better. And don't worry, it makes you feel better. Smoke a cigarette, it will make you feel better. But as I, when I met Jesus, I realized that that's just self-harming. That's just a way of crying out to say, I'm emotionally hurt. And God is really in the business of healing and restoration. He does
Amen.
not do a whole job. And I can testify of that, where God gave me my healing, my complete healing and restoration and deliverance that I needed. And it's not just something that happened and now I'm okay. It's my whole testimony that I can say God restored me in such a way that I could go back to my father and I could apologize and say it. And the Lord said to me, go back and I will show you how I can restore your relationship with your father, because I blamed him for a lot of things. Once again, the lies of the enemy. And God was so faithful. When I went back, God restored my relationship with my father to the fullest.
Oh, glory to God. That's the God that we serve. And today, Ansi, we spoke of some of the work that you are doing in squatter camps, for instance, feeding people, hundreds and hundreds of people. But then you also do a lot of work among women. You recently had your Elevate conference once again, very impactful. Talk to us about the work that you do among women, but also what you believe the heart of God for women in South Africa is.
I believe women are much, much more stronger than we think we are, that we can be a mouthpiece for God, that God can, we are so willing, and if we put our head to it, we can do anything. When before I got very sick of COVID pneumonia, I ended up in the hospital, and the Lord said, Ansi, your season has ended at Manzieville. Squatter camps. You're going to win, and I'm going to heal you of COVID, because there was at some stage the doctors didn't think that I was going to make it, and I was okay because I said to the Lord, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And the Lord said, no, it's not your time to go. I will release you from this hospital, and you will take hands with other ministries, and you will go and feed the people, and you will show them my love. And I did so. I feed with the White's Foundation, amazing group of people. We've got the same vision, we've got the same heart, and we just feed the people. And it's so profound that people come up to us and say, can you just pray for me? They're so desperate. And when we pray, we just see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We don't run after them. They come to us and they ask us for prayer after we give them a warm meal to eat. And so I started the ministry, and I also do a lot of ministry on Zoom, in Europe, America, where God just connected me with women, where I just journey with them, where they receive deliverance and healing. And that's so amazing to see God's working. There's no distance in the spirit. And it's really my heart to uplift women and just to show them their identity and authority in the kingdom of God, and that God is always working with us little by little. Every day He's renewing our mind. We are perfected in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. So this Elevate conference that we had on the 9th of August, it was the second conference. Last year I had another one, and I always wait upon the Lord. It's so important for me to be in the will, not to do run off and do my own thing. And in the beginning of the year, the Lord said, you will have another conference. And I always wait for a name. And I was sitting in my living room one night, and I just heard this audible voice saying, Elevate. And I just had a smile on my face, and I knew this was my name for my conference. And then I said to the Lord, I don't have a church, Lord. I don't have funds somewhere stacked up waiting for this conference to happen. Send someone, send a pastor to me to offer me his church. And so it happened. God miraculously provided. And that's how I see the hand of God in this whole situation. And then we had our Elevate conference, and my heart for each and every woman was that God would touch them in such a way they leave the premises of that church that they can truly say that I've been touched by the power of God. And that truly happened. As we entered the building, people already said, we can feel the presence of God. And I must tell you, even after the conference, 2 days after the conference, I was speechless because I myself was so touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the message that we conveyed was that you are worthy, you're good enough, and that we all have shortcomings. But God doesn't look at that, because Ephesians 1:4 says that even before the foundations of this world, God chose you to walk beside him, holy, blameless, and in love. So God chose you first. You are good enough. And that the enemy is forever trying to pull us down by his lies to say you are not good enough. It's my heart's desire to journey with women, and there's always healing, deliverance, restoration, and get them to a place where you position them in the kingdom of God, in the authority, where they know I am worthy, I'm good enough, God can use me, and just seeing running a race with perseverance and focus on what God has planned for them to do.
That is incredible. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the voice of Ansi Fisser. We've been talking about some of the great work that she's doing and that God's doing through her. But in the middle of it all, you are also blessed to hear the great work that God has done in her very own life. And see, in conclusion, I just want to ask you if you would just briefly share whatever the Lord has placed on your heart for our listeners today, because for many of you who might not know, she's also an incredible prophet of God. So just for a minute or so, and see if you would just share from the heart of God.
I just feel it's a season where we have to stand up as women of God and speak the word of God. Your authority is in the word of God, nowhere else. You don't need to run after a prophet. A true prophet of God will come to you to give you a word that aligns with the written word of God. I feel it's a season that God will raise up many Esthers and Deborahs, that we have to be bold and not shy away or reiterate for the enemy, but to stand up in boldness and say, I'm standing on the word of God. I am who the word of God says I am. But I also feel it's a season we have to walk in obedience. We cannot reap the fruit if we do not sow good seeds. Obedience is the key in this season, and holiness is the key in this season. And I just feel that a lot of women will get positioned in the kingdom of God, where they will run their race and they will grow in authority, and that they will know that they are seated in heavenly places, and that the enemy has been like, it's like God showed me that a lot of women will realize that the spirit of lies has operated for so long in their lives. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is setting them free from the lies of the enemy, from depression. But also in this season where you know that God has spoken to you, what are you letting go in this season? What are you letting go that's keeping you from your elevation in the spirit? Because you can have the word of God, you can have the Holy Spirit, but you still have your free will to decide, if I want more of God, if I want to go higher, I will have to let go of X, Y, and Z. And that's sometimes not easy, but I just hear the Lord say, if you trust in me, if you put your trust in me, I will show you, I will take you places where you've never dreamed or imagined, because I have a greater plan for your life. You are my servant, you are my vessel. And women, allow God to use you. Let God use you. That's the greatest privilege, to stand in the kingdom of God and say, I am a vessel of God. I've seen the power of God working through me. And above all, I'm asking you all to stay humble. When God starts to use you, stay humble, because we are nothing without Him at the end of the day.
Amen, amen. That is the voice of Ansi Visser, Africa Lighthouse Ministries. Ansi, if somebody would like to get a hold of you, find out more about the work that you do, get involved, how do we do that?
You can get in touch with me on Facebook, on Africa Lighthouse Ministries Facebook page. You can contact me on Messenger. Also on my personal Facebook page, or you can email me on A Ansvisser, ANSVISSER, 71@gmail.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, if you think you need prayer, you need help, I'm there for you. But if you want to join hands with the feeding scheme, you're more than welcome. Come and join us, and I'm so excited to see what God is going to do for us in this coming season.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ansi. And also a big thank you to your husband, Hans, because I know behind every strong woman is an even stronger man. So
Absolutely.
thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yes, I just want to say thank you for my husband, Hans Visser. It's so amazing. He's not a verbal person, but I can't do it without him, because he's the one who runs the show at home, or do what I can't do when I need to go off and do the work of the Lord. So that's also a form of ministry. And women, really appreciate your husbands. You need them. And God really honors a marriage, and just nurture your marriage as well. That's also very important.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ansi. And once again, the Lord bless the great work that you
Thank
do.
you. Thank you, Gina Lee.